You have your Bible with you. Something that you don't leave home without it. And you don't stay home without it. And I'm not talking about your phone. I'm talking about your Bible. So please turn with me to the book of Acts chapter 17. I might call on you, one of you, to read. So please pay attention, because you never know. I know most of you. I know your names. And if I don't know your name, I know the person who's sitting next to you, or in front of you, or the back of you. So no falling asleep on me. Turn with me, please, to Acts chapter 17. Everybody have it? We'll just read one verse. And verse 23. Acts chapter 17 and verse 23. For as I passed by and beheld your devotion, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. To the unknown God. Whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. And that's what I'm going to try to do in the next few minutes. The unknown God. Background of the story is interesting. You read it at your own leisure. I might get a verse here or there. It starts actually from verse 16. I want you to look at me, please. Pay attention, and I'm watching you. Paul, a disciple of the Lord Jesus, was in a big city called Athens. Imagine he is in New York or in Toronto or in... See if I got every big city or a small city that's in there. And if I didn't, I just want you to imagine that. And he, as he walked around, he looked and he found a lot of things. Every thought that you could imagine was there. Philosophy, intellectuality, if there is such a word, I just made one. Entertainment, and they are both, all of these things stem from two school of thoughts, generally speaking. In verse 18, if you put your finger in there, then a certain philosophers of the Epicurean and the Stoic encountered him and said, what will this babbler say? Other some, he seemed to be a setter forth of a strange God, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. Apparently, as the Apostle Paul was in the marketplace, and by the way, the marketplace here doesn't mean the flea market that we see here. It's like a Wall Street, where all of the transaction of the world take place. Where all of the conversation, whether it be commerce or philosophy or political debate, takes place. So apparently the Apostle Paul, if you read the verse before that, he was at his shop, at school, because the Apostle Paul was working with his own hands. He was talking to everyone about Jesus and the resurrection. And you could imagine Twitter lit up. Everybody is talking. Well, they had no Twitter, but whatever they had there. Everybody was talking about that. And they are asking, what is this new thing that we are hearing? Maybe some of them went on a chat GPT to get a report about what is this new teaching that he's talking about. And if you want to know anything about Christianity, you don't use chat GPT. Neither did you Google it. Yeah, most of you know what I'm talking about, right? Even your teacher would not accept the report. The two schools of philosophy, the Epicurean, are the one who have promoted the idea of self-indulgence. Enjoy yourself. Life is very short, enjoy it. You like music, go for it. You like sports, go for it. You like to be nice to people, go for it. That's just do whatever you would like to do. After all, when you die, that's it. Sounds familiar, right? Enjoy yourself. What do you like? Fill your eyes with whatever you would like. Fill your mind with whatever you would like. Fill your heart with whatever you like. Just enjoy yourself. That's it. That is the life today. That's a school of thoughts. Self-pleasure. The other school is a Stoic, and I think you guys hear the expression, oh, he's Stoic. These are the people that have self-affliction. Look, you need to be disciplined. You need to be harsh and hard on yourself. Okay? You have to kind of really be straight. You cannot enjoy anything. You just have to be good. In both philosophy, they believe that the world somehow came from all of the atoms. The atoms is the original of the universe. And they collided because the space was young, was small. And when they collided randomly, somehow, the universe was created. And somehow, mankind was created. Okay. Here, can I have my phone again, please? You know this thing here? Actually, it was a couple of silicon sands, a couple of minerals, and it was really in the corner here. And as a result of thousands of years with pressure and temperature, and the magnetic field, it became a cell phone or a mobile phone or whatever you call it. What do you think? Make sense? Yes? It makes sense? No? I can't hear you when you shake your head. Make sense? No. Thank you. Materialistic things. And by the way, the Greeks have a lot of gods. They were very devotion or superstition or religion. And today we have that. Whatever it feels like it. You see, it doesn't really matter. What do you want to be? You want to be a man? Fine. You want to be a woman? Fine. You want to change every other day? We could do a surgery for you. That is where the world where you guys seeing at high school and in colleges. And I want to make sure that this is nothing new and that you know very well. You know very well. In spite of what your teachers say, in spite of what your friends on Facebook put, instead of what's going on in the world around you, this is evil that's going to destroy people's life. And I don't apologize for saying that. And you need to be armed and protected from that kind of thoughts. Paul walks in and he's bringing a totally different doctrine. They call it strange doctrine. And today, the gospel of God concerning his son is a strange doctrine. What? God become a man, die on the cross, rise again, Jesus and the resurrection. You know what I find it very interesting? Do you know that Christmas is celebrated twice every year? Have you ever thought of that? The Western world, they do it on December 25. The Eastern world does it on January 7th. God wanted to make sure that he speaks twice. That Jesus, our Lord, came into this world. So he gave it to them twice. They messed up the calendar, it doesn't matter. The one that laughs, that dwells in heaven, laughs at them. Sure, just in case you live in the Eastern world, you have it on January 7th. Just in case you're born in the Western world, you have it on December 25. Do you know that also Easter, the resurrection, or what they call it, Easter, is celebrated twice? God does not leave himself without a witness. Usually, the Eastern world have it a week after or 2 weeks after the Western world.
The fact of the matter is, the Lord Jesus came into this world. And the Lord Jesus went back to heaven. It's a fact. It's a fact. It's a historical fact. It's a biblical fact. It's a fact that could not be disputed. None of you have seen Abraham Lincoln, right? Anybody? You guys believe that there was a man named Abraham Lincoln? So people tell you, well, if you don't see it, I don't believe it. Seriously? How many of you went to China? Nobody in this room. If I tell you, well, you have not seen China? If you don't see, you believe. There's no China. Oh, but we have reports. Well, we have reports. Jesus and the resurrection. I am talking to your logic here, so when somebody argue with you, that you know what you're talking about. But my point today is this. You guys are all religious people. You are all devoted people, like those who were an Areopagus or Mars's help. The scripture said, Paul told them, you are devoted people. Do you know the Lord Jesus? Is he the unknown God to you? What do you know about him? Have you come to the saving knowledge? You grew up in a Christian home, most of you. A friend brought you here today. Is he unknown God to you? Do you know him? Have you came into encounter with him? Have you met him? I'm not saying is your parents met him or your friend. Have you met him? Jesus, the Lord, came into this world. As a matter of fact, if we tell you what the Apostle Paul said, he said in verse 24, God that made the world and all the things that are seeing, Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temple made with hand. He is saying this, Jesus is the creator. Everything was created by him. No evolution. You didn't come from a monkey or a donkey. God created you, and God said, and God said, and God said, Genesis chapter 1. The scientists spend, I think, $25 million or billion dollars, I'm not quite sure, to build a machine in the mountains of Switzerland to split the atom, to see something they call it the particle of God. To see how the world have originated, how the atom work. I tell you what, they could have gone to Larry in a bookshelf and bought a Bible for $20. And they could have got it in the first page of the first book. The particles of God. To see the invisible God, the Lord Jesus came into this world. He is a creator, but not only that, he's infinite. The unknown God, do you know that? He is everywhere. When you are in a room by yourself, looking at your cell phone, and nobody is watching, not even the Chinese spying on you. The darkness doesn't hide him. He sees everything you're looking at. And you could erase all of your history. So dad and mom could not look at it, or your friends. Have you seen it? Are you going to stand before him? He's infinite. He's everywhere. What else? Neither, in verse 25, worship with man's hand, though he needed anything from man. He gives life and breath to all things. He's self-sufficient. And he is giver. He doesn't need you. Listen, if you repent and come to him, you're not doing him a favor. You are doing yourself a favor. What else? Time's gone. You guys complain that at lunchtime that the lunch break was long. I'll take care of that this afternoon. He made, verse 26, made of one blood all nation that dwelt on the earth, and determined times and appointed, but he controlled everything. Nothing take him by surprise. He controlled everything. This is the unknown God to them. Is he known to you? Is he unknown God to you? What do you know about the Lord Jesus? I challenge you in the second session about reading the gospel through, that this unknown God to the world might not be unknown to you. He's talking to these people. He is destroying their logic and their philosophy. He's introducing God's man, the Lord Jesus Christ, that came because he spoke about, not philosophy, he spoke about Jesus, not only that, the resurrection. Well, for somebody to rise, he must die. And that is the true gospel. The Lord Jesus came into this world, did good on every hand. History witnessed for him. Believers and unbelievers. Never a man spoke like this man. From the beginning of time, no, we never heard of anyone open the eyes of the blind. That would have never helped me. I born some years ago. I wasn't there. I'm not going to tell you. I'm short-sighted. Physically, not spiritually. And I needed glasses. Well, the Lord Jesus is not here, so he did that to the people who were around him. That doesn't help me today. That was in the end of it. It's because of your sins and mine. All have sinned. This is a fact that Scripture have said. You know what the wages of sin is? Death. And if you don't believe the Bible, I want you to do something. And I always say, perhaps you have heard me saying that before. You know what's the proof that men have sinned? Every town in the world, every city, almost, have one thing in common. They might not have paved roads. They might not have electricity or cars or supermarkets. You know what they have all of them in common? A graveyard. Every town, every city in the world, almost every village, have a graveyard. Why? Why do they have a graveyard? That is a proof of what God said to Adam. If you disobey me, you will surely die. And that death passed to every man. Who could raise his hand today and say that they have never, never, ever, ever disobeyed God? Okay, I'm glad nobody left his hand. You know what your end is? Like a lake of fire. That's just what it is. Just talking to somebody and he said to me, I'm a good man. I said, okay, how many breaking of the law of God you do it? Once a day? Like you ask me, or I ask you, how are you feeling? And said, I'm feeling good. And you are not really feeling good. You lie. So that's a breaking of the law of God. That's one a day. Okay, it's not bad. You didn't kill anybody or anything. Once a day. So in a year, that's 365 of breaking the law. In 10 years, that's 3,650 of breaking the law. Do you want to live next to a person who broke the law 3,650 times? That will be in a maximum prison, maximum security prison. And that's what we call good. You break the law of God. Only place for you is the lake of fire. I don't care how old you are. And all of you today are of age of responsibility. And you're going to pay for your sins. What is the answer? I'm going to introduce you now to my Savior and to my Lord, Jesus and the resurrection. The Lord Jesus came and he went to the cross. Talk about the cross today in Romans chapter 6. But not I am crucified with him, but he was crucified for me. He paid for the penalty of my sins. Not only that, he went into death and he came out of death on the third day. He is resurrected. But not only that. There is a verse here that I want to close with that says something like this. And the verse 30. And the time of ignorance God had winked at. But now he commands all men everywhere, including at this conference, to repent. You know what repentance is? Remember the two philosophy I told you about? Self-indulgent, self-oppression. Repentance is self-judgment. This is a new teaching that Paul is saying. It's self-judgment. You repent that you confess today before God that you have sinned, that you have broke the law of God, and you cannot do anything about it, and you need salvation. Please, I am pleading with you. I'll do anything. Don't leave these doors where your sins upon your head. Please. And it's not, oh, Jesus, save me. Yes. But repent. It's repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus. You need to turn around from what you're doing and change and ask Him. That's your part. You repent, that's your part. To stop, to think, to take God's side. His part. He gives you eternal life. And if you don't, I'll read that on. This is what Paul was telling these people. He said, because He has appointed a day in the which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man, by this man, whom He has given assurance unto all men that He has raised him from the dead. You're going to stand before God. You're going to stand before the Lord Jesus. And you are not going to be able to say, I didn't know. You were unknown God to me. You know what's going to happen? I really believe that. There will be, forgive me, I'm going to use my imagination, a big screen. And you would be caught on camera, sitting here, hearing the gospel message, and said, not for me. You're going to see your picture. You're going to see your attitude. You're going to see everything about you. And you will pay for your sin. It's your choice. You accept the Lord Jesus as your own personal Savior. The one that died on the cross. The one who was buried. And He was in the grave for 3 days. The one that God raised Him from among the dead. The one who is ascended to heaven. And the one who is coming again to be the judge of the living and the dead. Guess what? I am so glad that the chapter ended this way. In verse 32 and 33. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. And others said, we will hear again in this matter. And you could do that. You could mock. Or you could say, maybe next year when I come to the next Young People Conference, I'll listen. I don't know if we're going to have next year our next Bible conference. I'll never forget when I was telling everybody before COVID, I'll see you guys next week at Spruce Lake or at Grove City, at whatever, the Eastern Bible Conference. And you know what? The whole world chopped for 2 years. I don't know if you're going to have a Bible conference next year. I don't know if you're going to hear the gospel again. You could mock. You could say, not today. Or you could repent and accept the Lord Jesus as your personal. How happy I am that in verse 34, howbeit a certain man cleave unto Him and believe. Certain man cleave unto Him and believe. A man believed. A philosopher. A very, very prominent man. Very intellectual man. Or very common man, I don't know. But a man believed. Among them, the Dionysus, the Argobite, and the woman named Damaris, and others with them. I'm going to see them in heaven. I'm going to ask them a lot of questions. What made these people change their mind? The love of God. The love of the Lord Jesus that gave all that love could give. We're going to close our eyes. And I'm pleading with you. Forget about who's sitting next to you, please. And forget about who's sitting in front of you or in the back of you. Please, please, give me at least a minute. And close your eyes. And in that minute, if you have never ever, you might have grown up in a Christian home and know the verses and know the Sunday school, know the names of the brethren, you have a heritage, your great-grandfather with this, or your grandfather with this, or your father with this, or your uncle. It doesn't matter. What matters is, what is your decision? What is your decision? Is He unknown God to you? Do you know Him? And not just some information. Have you asked Him to come to your heart? Have you asked Him to be your Lord and your Savior? The choice is yours. Please, it's quiet. Close your eyes. Ask Him to come to your heart if you have never did it. And if you did, be like Dionysus and Damaris. They became disciples. They followed after Him. Don't let school and work and take you away from the Lord. The enemy is going to throw it in your face. He said, well, we have a good position. Let's stay where we are. The Lord Jesus' arms are open. His heart is open. He loves you. And He wants you to come to Him. And if you come to Him, He'll never cast you out. You'll be safe and secure in His hand. No one could snatch you from His hand. No matter what Satan come and hammer you on. Say, oh, you pray now? Look what you did yesterday. I know what you were looking at during the prayer. Ask the Lord Jesus to come to your heart if you have never done it. And if you do, if you did, tell Him, help me to crown you in my heart as my Lord. Lord Jesus, thank Thee for the love that is beyond measure, that brought thee into this world, and made Thee endure the cross, despising the shame, to pay for my sins, to be my substitute. At such a cost, Lord Jesus, that I could never ever pay. And those of us who believe on You would never ever be able to pay. But Thy grace have extended. We thank Thee for coming into this world. We thank Thee for dying on the cross for our sins. We thank Thee for being in the grave for 3 days. We thank Thee for Thy resurrection, Thy triumph, Thy ascension at the right hand of God, and Thy coming again to be the judge of the living and the dead. We pray that if any soul tonight have not come to Thee, oh, that they might come to Thee. And as one of old, they would say, oh, that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection. Commit ourselves to Thee. Give Thee thanks for the good news of the gospel and that we have a time to proclaim it. We just pray again. None will go out of these doors without knowing Thee as their personal Savior. We commit ourselves to Thee and we give Thee thanks. Amen. Amen.